Holy Spirit makes it so much easier than our trying to be self-reliant. And when we think that, okay, I'm believing for, and I'm believing for this for 10 years or whatever, and we're like waiting on, we think we're waiting on God, like what the heck is taking him so long? Because we're being self-reliant, not relying on him. We're trying to get it ourselves. So by trying to have enough faith, by reading scripture, by conjuring up belief, and rather than going to Holy Spirit and just saying, you know what, I can't, this is too hard to believe. Can you help me? And then he can just swoops in. Now, in this instance, the person that I was praying with had had been 10 or 11 years of long-term illness and had been standing by, you know, standing for it, standing on the Word of God, standing and doing this, you know, having faith and believing for and praying and saying it every morning and, you know, this, that, and the other. And God made it really clear, you're trying to do this on your own. And that's why he's not healing you, because he can't.
It's like the ball that you grab it.
Yeah, he can't.
Confessing the word.
Yeah.
With no Holy Spirit behind it, it's just, you know, claiming wrath, I think.
Yeah. Well, there's no power in just confessing the word.
Yeah.
I mean, there is in the sense that we're made in such a way physiologically that everything that comes out of our mouth, every word that comes out of our mouth, the part of the brain that is this called the speech center.
Uh-huh.
That part that controls the speech is connected with every nerve in your body. So, yeah, it's going to make a difference in that way because God wired us like that. So you don't have to know God to make those changes, because look at people who do visualizations and positive mental attitude and positive affirmation.
Yeah.
You can do it without God. But he's saying, you're mine. And what I said is you need to rely on me, because without me you can do nothing. But with me you can do all things. And people don't want to do it. They still want to rely on themselves. And in some cultures in particular, there's a very masculine, like macho kind of self-reliance. It's very much in Australia, New Zealand. They're very much that way. You know, they still kind of have to be the man of the house. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I mean, it's biblical, but it's the way it's done. You know, it's not a domineering thing. It's to protect and to provide. That's completely different than, you know, putting somebody under your thumb. But there's very much this, if I'm a man, I should be able to do this, 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 and this. You know, I should provide for my family. I've got to be able to, you know, work a certain amount of hours, make a certain amount of money, make sure, you know, the kids are taken care of and provided for, make sure my wife's provided for. I should be healthy. I should do this. I should do that. There's a lot of pressure. And when that man is a Christian, he still thinks he's got to be self-reliant. And I mean, women do it too. You know, we do it as women. Our self-reliance becomes, read the word, read the word, read the word. That's what our self-reliance is. Okay, I'll think about Jesus. Okay, I'll read the word again. Okay, I'll confess these scriptures. You know, women do it too. We do it in our own way. But men, it's not even just their wiring. Okay, yeah, on the biology side, but it isn't that. It's really yielding. And saying, it's basically fessing up and saying, Uncle, I can't do it. I can't do it. Nobody wants to say that. We all want to say we can do it because we feel like failures. We don't realize the failures when we don't allow him to do it. That's when we fail. Well, we've got it backwards because, you know, we live in a society that says you've got to be self-reliant and you should be making money and you should have, you know, this much, this many possessions, and you should look like this, and you should, you know, it's everything is about what appears to be strength, but it's not. So when someone's saying, I've been believing, and the same breath they're complaining about God, they're not believing. There's no belief in that. It's what you found out that day when you said, okay, what is making this, you know, why is this taking so long? What's the problem? What's the hindrance? And when he revealed to you unbelief, and then you could say, oh, help my I believe, help my unbelief. And then it was healed. But see, you were willing to admit it. Most people they don't want to admit it. And that's where they have to, that's why they need to get to know Holy Spirit, because he's not going to condemn you. And so if we get to know him and we can go to him and say, look, I'm having difficulty in this area, and this is just too hard for me. I don't know how to handle it. I just want to run away or whatever it is, you know. And mm-hmm. he can come to you and discuss it with you, and you can come up with a resolution that is nothing like you thought. It never is. So this idea of believing, that's, they're not believing. Because what did we say? You know, remember on the other session, believe, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And it meant be committed unto, that you rely upon. You are relying the one on the one whom you believe. That's what believing is. You're relying on him. That's very different than, oh, okay, yeah, I know God's this good God, and he does all these great things, and he made me, and da-da-da, and okay, he has a good future plan for me, da-da-da. Okay, I'll believe him. That's not the same as relying on him for everything.
Wow, right.
All the time.
On about everything all the time, right. That's where we are falling short, yeah. Because we can take example of, like you said, you can't always say, I believe without my unbelief, because I totally believe in Jesus' stripes were healed, and I totally believe in the healing power, which I really believe is always for me. See,
exactly.
That's where the gap comes in.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so I just simply didn't have any doubt when I was having those hard chills and started thinking, I asked Holy Spirit just bring me healing, and he did.
Yeah.
And Jerry's back healed, and his leg was out, you know, things like that. But when it comes to my thyroid, I don't really have the faith for that. I'm not blabbing it and grabbing it. I just keep saying, show me, Holy Spirit, how to believe, because I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pray about this one. I don't see the manifestation. I want more energy. I want it all normal. I want metabolism normal. And I just keep waiting. I'm thinking, okay, he isn't revealing anything to me, except, you know, maybe unbelief. You know, and we can't use unbelief every time for a doctrine.
No, you don't want that. No. It's personal. And,
yeah.
And for whatever reason, and I don't know, Gwen, because, you know, we all want instant, and, you know, of course,
yeah.
Everyone wants instant, and there's nothing wrong with wanting instant. Jesus did it that way. But while we're growing up, and it isn't instant, we need to be mature enough to trust him anyway. You know, that's really what it boils down to. It's like, okay, if I'm not getting this right now, right this instant when I've prayed and I believed I had faith or whatever, or maybe I'm struggling with faith and I'm still not having the manifestation and I've been praying for a while, that's the crossroads. Okay, like it said in that scripture we're reading in Hebrews 10, 33 to 30, whatever it was, to the end of the chapter. The just will walk by faith. And that doesn't mean, that's not that weird thing that they do in the church where it's like, oh, walk with, well, just have faith, brother. You know, it's not like that. And just, you know, be on false hope for the rest of your life and, you know, you still can't breathe because you've got emphysema. No, we're not talking like that. But we're talking about when you're in process and it isn't instant and you're growing, all of us, growing into it being always, you know, Holy Spirit flowing out of us so freely that it is always instant, while we're growing into that and we're walking towards it, how about we just maintain the faith in the process, whatever length of time it takes as we're walking? Because then there's a lot of freedom. You know, the pressure's off.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, it has to happen just a second, otherwise I'm not faithful.
I sometimes get really concerned about the thyroid issue because it does affect other organs and it does affect the weight, and the weight is a really big thing with the diabetic people.
Number one, there's fear there. And see, that's how the enemy gets in. He tells you your relatives, oh, this one's got diabetes and they're on 17 pills and this one's, no, it's in my family. And you're just having the hordes of the wolves come around. Oh no, I could get that, I could get that, I could get that, I could get that. That's what's really going on in your head. And like you said, you can't speak in English and tongues at the same time. You can't have faith and unbelief at the same time. But this isn't about you being attacked for it or condemned. Like, you know, the enemy goes, see, you have no faith. I mean, he doesn't even want us to have faith in God. Come on. You know, but he'll use it against us when we doubt. So it's not that we stay there. What we say is, all right, Holy Spirit, I don't understand what's happening. I don't know how to have faith for this at all. I know the stripes were enough. I know it. I've experienced it before. Get me to that place where I can have it for this. in Jesus' name. That's it. And then you let him do that. See, it's more and more hands off. That's what we're working on. All of you, none of me, Lord. That's what we're working on. That's what's happening. So when, rather than going into, yes, but this happens and this happens, because what, how you're speaking is, you're speaking, oh, that's what's going to happen. No, 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 no. Okay, you get prayer for it. I'm happy to pray with you about it and everything. But for yourself, you don't have to pretend it's you're okay with it, but you don't have to go into the whirlwind or the spin out of fear about it. You go to him about it. And not just, and it's not, I feel like there's this, the crux of it is this really strong, the crux of it is what we think we're believing, because we've said, okay, I'm in God and I know he's good. And he, you know, again, it's that lip service, and this is not to condemn anybody, but we have to stop having false faith. We really do. And if we don't have faith, we need to go to him and say, I don't have it. I don't have faith for this. This is too hard for me to believe. It's been going on too long. I don't understand, whatever our issue is. And go to him and say, you teach me how to have faith for this, Holy Spirit. And then leave it. Doesn't mean he's going to go, okay, now do da-da-da-da-da. He's not going to give you a list of things to do. That's not the kind of God he is. He will, it's like he's merged with you. Holy Spirit is one with you. So he it's this, the picture I'm getting, it's like a way, he dovetails with you. Like the waves, he becomes the waves with you inside. You know, he's inside with you at the same time that you're, so the same time that you're getting up, he's getting up. The same time you go to bed, he's going to bed, even though he doesn't go to sleep or anything. But his spirit in you is doing what you're doing for that moment. It's that merged, okay? So when he's going to teach you how to have faith for something, don't expect, when I asked it about some of my issues, I just said, teach me. And that was, and then it's like, go for a walk with the dog and do whatever you do. And the next couple of days, all of a sudden, he's telling me things that I forgot I asked him. That's how it works. That's how it works, Gwen. It isn't this prescriptive. See, we think we want to pin him down. Okay, you give me this little solution, then I'm going to feel safe again, because we're still not believing in his goodness. Once we really get his goodness, we know he's going to come up with a solution. And we know when we go to him, whether he tells us in that moment or he tells us 10 days from then, however he does it, we know we can depend and rely on his goodness. But if we can't, we go to him and say, I don't know how to rely on your goodness. Teach me how to trust you. And then
basically that was kind of my prayer for the last week or so. I need you to teach me in so many areas. So many. Really. So
all
many.
Of us.
It's unbelievable. In the healing, areas of being crucified with him, areas of totally relying on him and not self. And one of the things I kept feeling like, as I read the word, and I read like Destined to Reign, I read our little web page, our little Dare to Be Spirit Led, I read do the journals, and as long as I'm in there, it reminds me of, man goes and looks in the mirror, and when he walks away, he forgets what manner of man he was. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm forgetting what manner of man I am if I'm not constantly. And that's being a doer, and I don't want to be a doer. I just want to relax in the Holy Spirit and let him do the doer in me, him to change me, him to teach me, him to do. Because I keep falling back, like, to the point of, I keep forgetting. Or if I walk away from what I already just knew, or wait a minute, and I feel like, you keep forgetting where you are. He's in me, And I just kind of feel like I walk away from that. I can see changes, and I can see things, like he's revealing himself, and then, I feel like I walk away and I forget, or something, I don't know.
Well, and I think that's a good scripture to go to and actually look at that and meditate on that. Like, what does it mean to be a doer of the word? It's not running around, rushing around and healing thousands, as some people have made doing the word, they've reduced it to that. Being a doer of the word is actually believing you are who he said you are. That's part of doing the word.
Wow.
Yeah. And if we don't have that belief, we don't sit there and moan about it or feel bad about ourselves or be condemned. We go, I don't get it, Holy Spirit. How is it that who you made me to be was totally free? Teach me what is my identity in you, Lord. That's what I need. What's my identity in Christ? I don't get it. What does that, there's so many benefits from it that we don't participate in or partake in because we don't get it. But again, we always are going back to Holy Spirit and asking Him to teach us. So if you are becoming, we all do it, we'll have an understanding or a place of, greater, a greater connection with Him or whatever. And then one day, this happens, that happens, we get all upset and we feel like we've lost all that ground. See, inside we haven't lost all that ground. It's a temporary blip on the screen. It really is. God doesn't go, oh no, they've forgotten who they are. Oh, what are we going to do for them? He doesn't do that. He's like, oh, they'll be, I'll just scoot them up the road a little bit. Come on. That's okay. Go on. Keep walking. Yep. You can do it. Good job. That's how he is. Just like a child learning to walk. You don't go, oh no, they fell. Oh, it's ruined all those steps. That doesn't work. That's not how it is. It's like, wow, you're so excited. They took 5 steps. Oh my gosh. And then they fell in their bottoms with their their diapers on. And they get back
so,
up.
So when you do have a problem, you take it to the Holy Spirit, you're supposed to rest in that and expect Him to reveal. And so you're totally relying. Total reliance is faith.
Yeah, total reliance is faith. It's exactly what it is.
Your faith. And there's so many areas when you start to feel all these weird things, just go to the Holy Ghost. That is just go to the Holy Ghost. That's it.
That's it.
That's good. Just go to the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
And if you're, oh, I spelled it wrong. And if you're, and it's not about getting an immediate answer, though you often do. Like yesterday, I spent that kind of time with Him where I in the afternoon where I didn't have anybody that I was helping or ministering to or whatever, and was able to, and I wanted to go for a walk. I'm used to getting my walk. I'm going to have my little power walk and, with the dog and all that. And I knew I was too tired. And I really wanted to go. And I should be going. I should have missed it yesterday. Da, da, da. And I just stayed in my bedroom, went and opened the shades, looked at these beautiful trees that we have outside because we live in the country, and just talked with Him really at ease. And you can, you can feel when it's His voice. You just know. And giving Him some problems, telling Him some of the problems and some of the things I'm confronting or issues that are on my plate right now, and getting resolutions. At the time, it wasn't about an illness or anything; it was other things. And just having such a communion with Him, not worrying about you got to give me an answer. Some things I did press Him for an answer because there were issues that were upcoming. It's like I need an answer on this, but other things I didn't. And the most important part was that I actually got to relate to Him the way He relates. Not trying to put Him in a box, not trying to make Him act like this or say that or whatever it is we want to force God to do, as if we could, but we pretend we can. I just let Him be Him, and He let me be me. And He said this thing about this particular issue that I've been waiting on and that, believing for, but, kind of gave up. It's like, okay, this isn't going to happen, so I got other things I got to do kind of thing. And I thought, I'm just going to talk to you about what is your will on this. And when He told me that He was willing, it's like, this is what He said, I'm willing if you are.
Wow.
And you think, God doesn't talk like that. Oh, yes, He does. And I mean, it'll show you in the Bible because it says, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. I'm willing if you are. That's what that means. He's already put His willingness. His willingness has been written in the blood of Jesus. His willingness is forever. Ours is the conditional willingness. We're the ones that go in and out. Oh, today, yes. Tomorrow, no. Okay, I have faith. Oh, now I don't have faith. That's why we can't rely on our own faith. That's crazy.
Yeah, I and it's like the, you just can't confess all day long trying to convince yourself of I start fighting him. And just think this mantra is going to bring it.
Yeah. You know? No.
It's, to me, it's just like, you know, chanting.
It is chanting. You know, you might as well shake a rattle too, you know, do the whole nine yards. Yeah. It's, but like you said, I think it's a really concise, perfect way of saying it, that, you know, total reliance on him is faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. And that's all it is. And that means for everything. That means for, that I'm totally relying on him for my faith.
Yes.
Okay? Instead of going, oh, I got to have faith first, then I can rely on him. What? Are you kidding? Okay, I got to have the, you know, I'll have the key to the car first, and then I can, oh no, not the key. I'll have the car, but no key, and then I'll drive. No. I'm not going to have, if I can't have faith in a vacuum and make it up. I rely on him for that, because how did we get saved? Through, by grace, through faith. But how did we get that? I mean, he, like you said, he woos us. He draws us to him. It's not like he just went, okay, well, all of you that are going to be brave enough to have faith, okay, step 4 feet all over the line. The rest of you are a bunch of wimps. You know? That's how we think of God. Like he's not wooing and coaxing and come on, closer now. And once we're in him, once we're his, don't you think he'd even take more desire? More time? Because we're one with him. We're already in him. And on one level, I mean, it's not like he doesn't love the lost. He does. That's why he gave Jesus. And we were all there before. And he adored us. And he wanted us to be with him. But once we're in him, don't we have a totally different relationship? We still act like we're out there. We're still trying to gain it. It's just madness. It's got to be broken, that whole insane thing of people who say they're Christians, but they really don't even believe that he loves them. How can you, and that doesn't mean they're not Christians. They are. But how can we be living in such blindness? No wonder them, you know, such a high percentage of Christians, probably 70%, are miserable. That's true. You know? Maybe higher, maybe 85. I don't know, but it's a high percent. Most Christians that I meet are unhappy people. And it is incredibly, and they're trying so hard to be happy because they're so afraid they're displeasing the Father. And you're like, oh my God. You're displeasing the Father by trying to do it yourself. Do it yourself Christianity. You're supposed to go to Holy, but you don't know Holy Spirit, so how do you know to go to him? Because you've been told you're not allowed to, because, ooh, he's some devil thing. Some seductive voice in your head. Instead of the seductive voices on the pulpit.
He's a power.
Or he's a power. He's this thing, this force that pours out of you when you need it. You know? Not like you actually relate to it. And I mean, I've heard some people say, oh, is this really real or is it my voice? And you know, you just have to keep walking with him and you start to get whose voice is who. But it's like a relationship with anybody. You're going to recognize their nuances, their characteristics, how they act, how they think, by spending time with them. It's the same with Holy Spirit. I now know, like, my relationship with him is so different than my husband's. It is so different. And the other night I was sharing about one of the dares that I'd done, and it was about grieving the Holy Spirit. And I said, I hated doing that dare. It was so painful because I didn't want to think that I'm grieving him. It hurts me. But I admitted some things.
Me too. I couldn't do that.
It's very hard to do. But once you do it, it's great. You know, and then you go past it. And that's really good too. But when I was doing it, I mentioned something that I had basically, you know, disobeyed. The Holy Spirit had told me to do something. And I didn't follow through. I didn't follow suit. It was something for myself, you know, like taking time off. You know, it was so hard for me. Anyway, and I didn't. And he said that it grieved him when I didn't keep my word. And I was like, oh, you know. And then we had this big negotiation time where I'm telling him, I can't do that many days. And can you just let me do, you know, can I just do 2 to 3? And he was so gracious about it. It wasn't like I want to put extra pressure on you. It's like I want you to have some freedom. You need a break. I'm trying to give you that. But if all you can do is 2 to 3 days, let's do that. That's what he was saying. I mean, I was like, oh, I thought I'm in trouble. And my husband had a completely different attitude to it. He said, you're arguing with the creator of the universe? I went, yeah, all the time. I said, I'm like mini Moses here. I always argue with him. You know, I am so stroppy with him or sassy or whatever, you know. And he's the same with what I love about Holy Spirit. He's like that with me. He's like, well, I know I can be that way with her because she's that way. I made her. I know what she's like. So I'm going to be, he's stroppy too. He's just as stroppy as I am. And I'm like, wow. And I don't mind, you know, and he doesn't mind. We get on that way. But my husband, it wouldn't work that way. With you, it wouldn't work that way. You might get hurt. You might feel insulted or something, you know, or somebody else. I'm not saying you particularly, but, you know, other people. And I thought, you know, and then we start to compare, and I'm, you know, I felt kind of condemned, not that my husband was trying to, but we have this idea that, you know, we all have to be the same, like little clones. We all relate to God the same. No way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hairs on my head. I have a different number of hairs than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm individual. He's going to relate to me differently. He's going to relate to somebody else differently. And he just wants to relate. His biggest thing is, can I relate to you, please?
Stop ignoring me.
That's it. Can I please? That's his biggest grief. If you did read that one, it says his greatest grief is being ignored. That's his biggest one. Not that we act like idiots sometimes, and not that we're stroppy or resistant, or we, you know, mess around and don't do what we're told. Or the greatest grief is that he's invisible to most Christians. That's his grief.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're so miserable. So he's invisible and they're miserable. That's how it works.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you ever admit to somebody that you got mad at God and you yelled at God.
Yeah.
Well, some people, I've never got angry with God. You know, and I'm like, you don't? Oh, I do. You know, I bleach out. Or, I know it's not reverence, you know. Like you said, he knows me.
Yeah.
He knows my chemistry, my makeup, the way I am, you know, and hey, it's not like you never get mad at your own husband.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to stifle it. When you're mad, you're mad.
Yeah, yeah.
But some people think, oh, no, never. I've never gotten mad at that. I go, stop lying to yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly, exactly. And if, look, if my... You know, all of us have to get that we can be ourselves with him. That's part of the reason that people don't go to him, because they think they have to, you know, cross their legs and sit nicely and behave themselves and be quiet because, you know, God's at work here and he's doing what he's doing. I mean, the fact that through Jesus we became one with the Father, doesn't it mean that we're kind of like, it's too late now to get in trouble? You know, it's like...
Yeah.
What's he going to do? What's he going to do? Throw a lightning bolt on me and consume himself? It's kind of not going to happen. You know, it's not going to happen. And he does, and he is always for us. You know, even when we're absolutely, you know, we look like we're beyond help, but we're never beyond help for him. So there's just this, there's this false belief we've got to lay down in, you know, not really, it really is, it's almost like an epiphany, you know, one of those, they call them religious revelations. It's like this moment of revelation, and there's this moment in time in your relationship with him when you just get, he's good, and that's it. He's good, as they say, full stop here, instead of period, they say full stop here. That's your, you know, the end of your sentence, you know, he's good, full stop, that's it. We don't add anything to that. We don't question it. We don't justify it or modify it. He's good. That's it. Once we get that, we can move on to the next place. But if we don't get that, we need to ask him to help us have that. That's how good he is. He doesn't go, well, you know what? You came to me and now you're mine and now you better believe everything. You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't that be awful? Yeah, it's like a parent. It would be like a parent. You know, a child gets a toy or something that they don't know how to put together, yeah? But the parent bought it, and the child's so happy they can't wait to get it, and they're, you know, asking every day for it, and finally, the parent has the money and buys the gift and brings it home, and it's, you know, it's, say it's Lego. My son's a Lego fanatic, and say he's really little, you know, maybe 3 or 4, and so putting the pieces together are going to be really hard. And then the father just goes, well, you figure it out. That's how we think the Father in heaven is. That he's going to give us 3-year-olds, toddlers, because we're toddlers compared to God forever. That's just how it is. You know, I mean, until we get to heaven, then we know as we've been known, but we're still not him. So we're toddlers, and he doesn't run around giving toddlers, you know, the instruction book called the Bible. Now you figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not an instruction book. It's a love letter anyway, but people won't get that unless they go to Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit's the one that teaches you how to put the Lego together. He goes, oh, let's look at this one now. What? Page 3. Look at page 3. Do you see these 4 gray pieces? We need 4 gray pieces, you know? And he'll take you through every step. I don't understand the stripes. I don't have faith. I don't understand grace. How can you really have forgiven me forever? He says, okay, let's go to page 3. Let me tell you about grace. That's how he does it. We are not expected to understand until we seek him out, and then we go to him. He gives us understanding, then we understand. He wants us to understand more than we do.
Yeah, and it's like, I think I read it in Destined Rain, maybe not, but all spiritual things, they come by the Spirit first and Revelation second. It's like he reveals to us in our spirit, and then it's revealed right to our minds. It's all a spiritual thing.
That's right. That's right. Well, I mean, who gives the revelation? The Spirit.
The Spirit.
You know?
It's not, in your heart.
Yeah.
You can get to your head, I guess.
Yeah, well, it doesn't happen on its own. It's not like people think, oh, it says to renew your mind. You know, not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, how do you think that happens? What, I'm going to do the renewing? Oh, because Paul said, you have to renew your mind. Oh, and what were the steps that he said I had to do? What was in there? I had to read the Bible 12 times a day, and then I had to say affirmations or confessions, and then what else was I supposed to do? Oh, plead the blood, and then, oh yeah, and then this other thing, what else do I have to do? Oh, go to church twice a week. Where does it say any of that?
Yeah,
you know, we renew our mind. How are we going to renew? I cannot renew my mind by myself. Are you kidding? I mean, look at the pressure people are put under. Now go renew your mind. How do I do that? Figure it out for yourself. God doesn't talk. Can you imagine that? I mean, I'm still amazed at what salvation is. You know, I think that's a mystery in and of itself. You know, that's incredible. That's the biggest one. But we're not. He doesn't tell us to go figure it out by ourselves. Why would he send a teacher that's going to live in me 24/7. What? So that I could figure it out for myself. You know, I mean, it's just logic, isn't it? It really is.
It's so logical, and it makes so much sense.
It's so logical. It's just silly.
Wow.
You know?
I just gotta get more logic.
It's true. Yeah, that's really true. Because we think, you know, it's all this theological. We think it's theologic that we need, the theology. We just need bare logic, because God is very logical. I mean, okay, he asks sometimes outrageous things and that we don't always understand or don't seem to make sense. You know, we look back and they do. But, and, you know, it's what's impossible in our eyes is possible for him. So in that sense, okay, he doesn't look logical. But he is not a harum scarum chaotic God. He goes, okay, they're going to be there. Jesus, okay, my son's coming back to be reign with me, okay, to be at my right hand. So I can't leave him there because, boy, that would be a rough spot. Okay, Holy Spirit, you're going to go. Oh, yeah, I can't wait. Okay, good. Okay, we're all on page with that. So we're sending Holy Spirit, and you're going to indwell them, okay, as soon as they believe in Jesus. And then your power is going to come upon them, and you'll be back. They'll be baptized in you. Okay, so that's good. That gives them all that. Okay, yeah, they're going to be set. And then, of course, you know, Jesus is advocating them all the time, and he's already forgiven them, and I'm here, who thought of the whole idea, so as the Father. So this should be good. It's a good plan. You know, and what the, what is it, you know, what is the church or believers, what do they learn? They learn, okay, once you're in the club called I'm a Christian Born Again, now figure out the rest for yourself. If you can't figure it out for yourself, go talk to a preacher or a pastor or an apostle or a prophet, because they'll help you. Really. Does anyone refer to Holy Spirit as the helper? The one who's supposed to help me? Very rarely. He has been usurped by humanity and definitely put on the back bench and told, you know, don't make a move. You're making too much noise over there. You know, Holy Spirit, be quiet. We're having church now. You know, better behave yourself. We're busy doing God's business.
See, that just hurts my spirit right there.
And that's what happens, though, isn't it?
That's ignoring, yeah. That's ignoring him.
And that's screaming. Yeah, that's how he feels.
Not allowing him to flow. Yeah. Or to teach, or to do what he does.
Yeah, exactly. So, we've got to, that's where that self-reliance. Self-reliance has no place in Christianity. But it's been given a big place. And it's got to stop, because that's why people are so lost that are saved. You know, I work with so many people, and you're just sometimes you almost feel like saying, do you actually know whether you're saved or not? Not because I'm judging them, but because I'm like, you don't act like you are. You act like you're still lost. And that's...
I could say that. Yeah, many times, you know, you must feel lost if you're not introduced to Holy Spirit, so he can lead you and guide you, and you might feel lost a lot. I mean, that's why people have to say the sinner's prayer 100 different times in their lifetime.
That's
because
right.
Because they haven't been introduced to Holy Spirit, who helps you live as a Christian person.
Yes.
You know, and so that's why when you learn the grace and faith and learn about Holy Spirit, then we can walk with him and let him teach us. Then there comes a time you don't need to say that sinner's prayer anymore, because you know that you know.
Absolutely.
And he's the doer. You don't have to do.
No, you don't. I mean, if he can take and change your heart in a twinkling of an eye, not just for salvation, although it happens there, but for the rest of your life, in any area that you need, then who better else to go to and to ask for that kind of help? Because I certainly can't turn my heart around for somebody that's really hurt me. I cannot, even talking myself into it, even saying all the right scriptures and trying to band-aid the whole thing. My heart still hasn't changed. I've just changed an attitude. I've had an attitude or behavior change. Well, that never lasts. We know how that works. It's called psychology. But to actually have him turn your heart around, to yield to him in that way, is such freedom. People are so afraid that they're afraid of admitting that self-reliance is a joke. And their whole life is based on a joke called, I can do it myself, thank you very much. So they'd rather stay there in misery and blame God. See, they want, this is the problem, really, Gwen, that I'm seeing, is they want one foot in one camp and one foot in the other. One foot in self-reliance, one foot with God. And they blame God for not doing what he's supposed to do, because he said that I was healed by the stripes of Jesus, or he said that if I had faith, this would happen. But they have one foot in self-reliance. They're trying to do it themselves. How in the world can God honor that? He can't. They're taking his place. And then the audacity is that they're blaming him for not doing what he's supposed to do, according to them. But they've taken his place. They're playing God for themselves. And then they're mad at him. It grieves me. I get worse than grieved. I get like Jesus with the whip and the, you know, money changes. I get that upset with it, because I understand, because I was there. I totally understand that position. But I also know that you don't have to stay there. A person doesn't have to stay there. They, if they want to seek the truth is so ready to be sought, called Holy Ghost. It's not like he's hiding. It's not like he's trying to make it difficult for you to find him. He lives right inside of us. There's not very far to go. But we do have to lay down that sense of not just self-reliance in the sense of I can do it myself, thank you very much. More than that, we do have to lay down that kind of place of I don't know and I'm trusting you do. So I have to let you do it. Even though it might, for some people, this is a real unknown. This is really scary stuff for them to actually let God have their lives. Because they were a Christian 20 years ago, but they didn't let God have their lives. That doesn't mean they're not born again. That doesn't mean they're not in the kingdom. That doesn't mean their names aren't written in the book of life. That's all true. But they don't live as that. They don't live as his, and they don't live yielded to him. That's why Paul was so incredibly filled with joy all the time. No matter how much he was beaten, no matter how much shipwrecks and you know, imprisonment and everything else. That's why he could say, all I boast in is Christ and him crucified, because his life was so not his own. But if we're holding on, you know, we want God to heal us. I'm just using this for an example. We want God to give us finances or whatever. We want, or make us a superstar, whatever it is that we think, you know, is the thing we're supposed to have. But say healing, because healing is a done deal. And we all know that. There's no doubts about it. So, say we want that from him. But we find every excuse, every reason, every possible doubt about it. And we nurture and we babysit that. And then we go to him and go, how come you haven't done anything? And I just can imagine him, you know, slapping himself on the forehead going, oy vey, did you look at my son? Did you look at my son? My son was given. It's done. It's done. You know, have a bagel and just get healed already. You know, I can see it. It's like, can you?
It is finished.
We just have to catch up to it is finished. That happened over 2,000 years ago. We catch up to that, then it's finished for us too. That's all it is. And that is not something where it's a concept. Oh, I better, now I got to strive to get it is finished. No. No. I talked to somebody the other day. They were going to work on trust. I went, don't work on trust. I'm like, forget the working. Tell him you don't trust him for this healing. Ask him to help you trust him. That's it. And then he works on the trust. Can you manage that? That's all you have to do. That's all, you know, people want to work on getting it. And it's like, but you can't. You can't make yourself trust God. I don't care how many hoops and how many seminars and how many conferences and how much church you go to, you cannot make yourself trust God. It doesn't work like that. It's an inside job. And who's on the inside? Holy Spirit. So he's the one who's going to, he's the trust meister. You know, he's the one who's going to give it to you. Nobody else.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? And then you just let him do it. And if it takes you...
No matter what we don't know and what we need to know and what we can't find out, we just have to go to Holy Spirit.
That's it.
It's just too simple.
It is so simple. And the thing is, if it takes us 2 weeks to get to trust for that illness or that issue or whatever, then it takes us 2 weeks. This is not we don't get to blame God for that. Okay, I'm a little slow. So what? He's working it in me. He's changing me from the inside out. Okay, oh, I thought I'd be faster than this. Oh, well. Okay, well, Holy Spirit, can you speed it up? Not because you're not doing your job, but if I'm hindering anything, get rid of it. Get it out of the way. I give you permission. You have full permission to clean me out. Boy, it works a lot faster that way. Instead of this blame game that we do. You know, first of all, too scared to tell him, but in our heart of hearts, it's so angry at him, we want to slap him. But, oh, no, we can never say that. You know, heaven forbid. As if he's not living in there knowing exactly what you're thinking before you think it. So the whole thing is just a sham. You might as well just fess up, you know. You're going to feel better anyway. And then he can actually do something. So that's what it is. And you know, people turn him into either an ogre or a genie or invisible man or whatever they turn him into. And he's none of those things. And all he wants is a relationship. that he bought by his son's very life and blood. That's all he's seeking in us. We think he's seeking us to go change the world. You better go change the world now. Oh, you got saved. Now you better save your neighborhood. That's what we've been told. Don't be selfish. You know, you're not a Christian for yourself. You're a Christian for them. I'm like, I actually am a Christian for myself. Because I want a relationship with him. Well, I'm not doing it for the guy next door. I do it for the guy next door when I have my relationship with God. And it is a fulfilling relationship. And I actually understand that I belong to him. And I'm written on his heart for the rest of eternity. Yeah, I can go and whoop and holler and tell others that want to know. I can do that. But I can't do that if what I'm doing is going, okay, now I got the stamp of approval. I'm in the club. I got born again. And now I got to go save humanity. No, I think Jesus did that part. My part is to follow him. And to follow, and following him now in today's day is following Holy Spirit, because he's the one who came instead. And people keep looking at Jesus. I mean, of course we look at Jesus as our standard, our example. Oh my gosh, God in the flesh. Oh my goodness. You know, I mean, that's just wacko in itself to imagine that. You know, and no wonder people don't think it's true. But when we get born again, we know it's true because he lives in us. But just, you know, they keep looking at, okay, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? Why don't you ask Holy Spirit? Because Holy Spirit said he would bring to remembrance all that Jesus said. Why don't you go to him? Because he's the one who's going to bring it. He's my direct link. He's my the one I'm communicating. He's like the comm link between Daddy and me. You know, in and out, you know, with Star Trek or Star Wars, you know, you had to do the comm link. You had to communicate to somebody. Roger that, you know. It's like, Roger that. Okay, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit tells you, you know, what to do. Okay, I want you to do, I want you to go to this place, and I want you to, there's a person there, and they're really, really hurting. So can you see them? Oh, I see them. Okay, go there. Okay, all right, Roger that. You know, away you go. I mean, what am I going to ask Jesus? What did you do with this person? They weren't born yet. He's not going to answer, you know. But Holy Spirit's right.
Holy Spirit knows the end from the beginning.
That's right.
The beginning from the end.
That's right. He's living. He's a living God right here. He's the here and now God.
He's the creator, actually, of us.
Yeah.
I mean, God created us, but he brought it to be.
That's right. Well, God thought us. God had the thought. Jesus spoke us. Holy Spirit built us.
Yeah.
You know, it's they're all in one. You can't have any of them missing. We're not here.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it works. And he's the one who's the practical one, because he's in the now, right now, living in us. He can tell us, no, don't pick up that spanner. Get this, you know, get a spanner's a wrench here. You know, get this hammer or get the, you know, whatever tool we need. He'll tell us, this is what you need for this situation. And most of the time, he doesn't tell us beforehand. He tells us in the middle of it, doesn't he? And he tells us, you know why he tells us in the middle of it? Because otherwise, we'll take over. So there you are praying for somebody you have no idea, and all of a sudden, this stuff just pours out of you, this prophecy or these words of knowledge or whatever it is for the person, that if you had heard it before, you would have tried to tell it the way you wanted to tell it. He gives it to you right then and there, because you cannot stop it, because it's flow. Like you said, you can't speak English and tongues at the same time. But you can't speak me and Holy Ghost at the same time.
Absolutely.
You know, he comes out of your mouth. Well, that's tough. Nothing else comes out. But if we knew beforehand, we might want to mix it and go, oh, well, I think it really means, like I did that time when he wanted to give me that introduction for him, and he'd written it all out. He told me what to write, and I wanted to change the order. And he got very stroppy about it. In fact, he got firm. And I knew he meant business. It was like, Jesse, this is not one of these times where you get to argue. Like, this is one of those times you shut up. You aren't going to win this argument, and it might get ugly.
I'm the author.
Exactly. That's what he was saying. You think I don't know what I'm writing about myself.
I don't need your help.
It was so funny. And I went, oh, okay. I was like real nice. I thought, oh, I better be good, you know. And then when I wrote it out, I told him later. It was so funny. I said, oh, you're right. It's perfect. And he goes, yeah, like, you know, like this look on his face, like a parent, you know, like, what did you expect? You expect I'd make a mistake? I mean, we really don't get it. You know, he's perfect. He's absolutely perfect. There is no mistake in him. So when he what I love about him is that Holy Spirit will allow you to be you. And if you have a stroppy or a sassy or upstart nature, he doesn't go smash it and tell you to shut up and sit down every 5 minutes. He doesn't do that. I mean, there are times when he's firm and you know that, okay, this is one of those times I've got to be quiet. But for the most part, you know, greater percentage of the time, you're yourself, and he works with you in that. Whenever he tells me to do a new project, new book, a new, you know, part of a ministry or whatever, and I argue with him for several weeks, well, the arguments are a lot briefer now because I learned I never win. So I might just have to give in. You know, I can't win, so I've got to give in. But when I do that, he doesn't yell at me or condemn me. You know, we think we're going to be condemned by God. He doesn't do that. He laughs at you. He tells you stories that today is the day. So you're going to do it now? So how about now? Well, what about now? What do you think now? What about now? And he's like that. And you're thinking, gosh, you just don't give up. Okay. And then he's not mad at you for acting like that. I love that about him. I can be totally myself.
He's persistent. Yeah.
He's persistent, but I can be totally myself with him more than any other person. And he is a person. I know I am completely safe. And if I say something that's horrible, he'll accept me still. And if I say something that's amazing, he might pat me on the back. And if I say something that is foolish, he'll help me work it out. And if I say something that's out of order, he'll tell me that's enough of that. But he never, ever condemns me. Never. And most of the time, what I think is, you know, I don't think I deserve the comfort because, oh, I'm having a whinge about this, that, or the other. He wants to actually comfort me about it. Yeah, I don't let him. You know what the first dare, and I'm only going to, well, this will be online now. No, I'm going to pause it. I don't want to. So the point that you made is so vital, is that we can even ask Holy Spirit to help us in our resistance of the enemy. That we don't have to just, okay, I'm just going to command it and just say it. Oh, I said it 100 times. Oh, it's still not working. Okay, let me hit it again. Let me hit it again. Let me hit it again. There's no life in that. But if I go to Holy Spirit and say, okay, Holy Spirit, how do I resist this disease that's coming at me or this pain or this symptom? What do I do? And he'll tell you. And it might be different than you did the last time when something was trying to attack you. Or different for your neighbor who maybe even had the same illness, but you're doing it differently because he knows what you're going to need. So that's a perfect way to do it. Because you're not denying that you have something to do with it. But we have a very small part, really. But you're acknowledging that Holy Spirit's going to be the one to help you to resist the devil so that he'll flee.
Absolutely.
You know, submit to God.
Yeah.
What is that? You know, when you look at that, submit to God in the context of Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Submit to God. Okay, submit to the Holy Spirit who's in you.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to yield to what he says and his direction, his instruction, his truth. Resist the devil. Well, don't agree with him. Don't say, oh, okay, whatever you say goes. We don't agree with him. And the devil flees. So we submit to Holy Spirit and what he says. Then through that submission, we can resist the devil. And then he flees. So I think it's an excellent point.
Yeah.
It's an excellent point.
The basic, the difference between resisting it and then the second symptom that comes on with the hard chills and the chattering teeth, I really went to Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Before I was just using God's words and saying, I'm resisting the name of Jesus. Well, the name of Jesus is the name of everything that you should have bowed. But when I went to resist the other, I said, Holy Spirit, bring healing to me.
Mm.
You know, by the blood. And that's the difference of just resisting it to me. And maybe that's why he's showing me right now. I think it's a revelation of how the words are empty without Holy Spirit. You see?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I felt like my words were quite. And then the second sense, they aren't empty.
No, they're not. They can't be empty with Holy Spirit. And I think that idea that we submit to him and what he has to say about it, then from that submission we can resist. And then the devil the devil will flee, which is what you did. And because we can learn methods, and it becomes this method over him rather than him first. Okay, so what do I do here, Holy Spirit? Because I'm lost. I did all the things I'm supposed to do. And I mean, that's what happens to so many people. All of us. Okay, I did the thing I was supposed to do. I said this. I acted like that. I believed. You know, but we don't
even... I was resisting. And it's not going away.
Yeah, and then the complaint. Well, Lord, I'm doing my part. You know, Lord, exactly. Lord, you know, I'm doing my part. So, you've obviously failed me, kind of a thing. Rather than going, I didn't ask you to do any of that.
Yeah.
And that's what he really wants to say. You know, I didn't ask you to do any of that. I said submit to me. That's the first part, not resist first.
Yeah. Holy Spirit, now what?
Exactly.
Yeah. Not blab it and confess the scriptures and resist in your own words or flesh. Yep. That's the difference. I see it now. Really clear. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, it's helpful for everybody. It's helpful for me as well. Because you can get into that doing it as a ritual or a method.
I resist you in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, and just go, I resist you. I'm resisting the symptom in the name of Jesus. But it's in fact, there's anything behind it. Now, it's plain grass again. But you go, Holy Spirit, show me how to resist. Do I think of something new? Do I just take no thought? Do I speak over
it? Yes, yes.
Then you know how to resist.
That's it.
By his instruction,
yeah.
You would know how to resist. That's what is being revealed to me now. Thank you, Lord.
Exactly.
Because I didn't even know how to resist. I was just resisting my own self-effort.
Yep.
The word says resist, yeah. So I'm resisting.
Yep.
Where's the spirit behind that?
Yeah, and that's right. And because there's no submission first.
Yeah.
And if we don't submit, how are we going to resist? Because then we're trying to resist on our own. Like you said, self-reliant, resistance. That doesn't work. The devil knows the difference.
Oh, yeah. How clever was that?
You know, just say these words. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just say these words. Yeah, that'll work. That'll get rid of me. Oh, yeah, keep saying them. Say them till you're hoarse with your throat. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you never... Oh, and then I'll discourage you. Yeah, that'll work. Let me discourage you. And then you'll give up. And then you'll think God doesn't love you anyway. Oh, it's a great plan. I love it. Yeah, keep resisting me.
Yeah. Without so many dollars for it.
Yeah.
Oh. Thank you, Lord. Oh, he just sure does teach us how to work.
Oh, yeah.
Go to the Holy Spirit about everything. About everything for
us. That's right. That's right. Because we're not going to get anywhere without him. It's just not going to happen. Otherwise we're kidding ourselves. We have to submit to God, and that must come first. So submitting to God must come first before we resist the devil, or he won't flee. And it's hit or miss then.
Yeah.
And submitting to God means yielding to Holy Spirit to teach us how to resist the devil in each situation or illness or circumstance, not like an automaton with just words. I command this, I resist that, I command this, but with his spirit.
Yeah.
That's the fullness of God.
Thank you.